This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون صدق الله العظيم. So that is verse number 7 out of the 118 verses of chapter 23, Surah Mu'minun. In the two verses prior to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala impressed and Allah described the believer as those who are particular and protect and safeguard their chastity, their morality. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. They protect their private organs. And in verse number 6, Allah said, however, إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ. When it comes to their spouses or that which their right hands own, meaning the slave girls back in the days, which was of course for a male, and it wasn't in the opposite way where a female could have intimacy with a male slave. So we need to be clear about this here in terms of the rule and the law and the juristic permissibility. At a time when this had existed, the sarari or the ima or the concubine, and as understood in the context of the sharia, at that time, of course, there was that permissibility of having a relationship and sharing the bed as you would with your spouse, likewise with the slave girl, which satisfied the laws of Sharia. So Allah said, إِلَّا بَتْ عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ. Upon their spouses, they have permission. أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ. Or that which their right hands own. مِلْكَ يَمِينَ, as you refer to in Arabic. فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. Then they will not be liable for any blame. Then in the verse we recited now, in verse 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنِ بْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ. Whoever searches for the fulfillment of his desire beyond these two avenues, or with these two avenues contrary to the teachings of Islam. So he does not have relationship with his spouse as the conventional way of Islam, and he resorts to anything other than that which Islam has allowed and approved. Or he has relationship with his spouse in the conventional way, but not in the time and the duration that Islam has allowed. So of course, a woman would be going through her cycle. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ. They ask you regarding the cycle of a woman, regarding the menstruation of a woman. قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى فَاعْتَزِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ. That this is an impurity, so do not be intimate with your spouse in terms of cohabiting during that period of time. But yes, you could sit, you could eat, you could be close. Do not shun your spouse. No, no, not at all. The hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Aisha radiyallahu anha says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would recline in my lap. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would recline in my lap, and I would be in a state of impurity. وَهُوَ يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ. And he would be reciting Qur'an. The great Shafi'i scholar deduces, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, the permissibility of the recitation of the Qur'an in the proximity of impurity. Wow. Do you see the richness of the religion and the beauty? So yes, during that period, Islam is pure. Islam is clean, clean, clean. I know of somebody who reverted to Islam, and the thing that brought him into Islam, he says, when I observed how Muslims would use water after going to the loo or the toilet or the lavatory or the washroom, which I could not understand otherwise. But I observed that for Muslims, that's a common practice. I mean, the first thing you when you get into a loo is you look for a tap, you look for a jug, you look for water. Nowadays, they have so many of these things that you can, that are compact and easy to travel with, etc., that help you. You get into a hotel, you want to look at the access of water and the toilet and the position, etc. first thing you want to settle yourself about that, and, you know, is the basin elevated or is it wuzu friendly, etc. So these are things of a believer. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the people of Quba, Allah says, فِيهِ رِجَالٌ يُحِبُّونَ أَن يَتَطَهَّرُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّهِّرِينَ. In this masjid are people who love purity, and Allah loves those that love purity. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّهِّرِينَ. Allah loves the pure ones. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَثْنَى عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah has praised you. Please tell me, what are your people's amazing quality? And they said, نُتْبِعُ الْأَحْجَارَ الْمَاء. نُتْبِعُ الْأَحْجَارَ الْمَاء. That we combine two forms of purity after relieving ourselves. We would use a lump of sand which has the amazing ability to absorb the impurity, and then we'll follow it up by water. Today you would use toilet roll and followed by water. So that's Islam is all about purity. So فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ. Verse 7, whoever searches for the fulfillment of his lust and his desires, whether it is giving pleasure to himself, whether it is seen pornographic material to arouse and stimulate himself, or satisfying himself with his spouse in unconventional ways, or in the conventional way, but in the period that is not permissible, all that would be فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. The Quran says, these are the transgressors. These are the transgressors. So just to recap, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah says the believers are successful. And for that eternal, absolute, ultimate success in Akhirah, there are qualities. There's a prize. Like I often say, you know, earned du'as brings magic in your life. Request your mom for a du'a, great. Request your dad for a du'a, awesome. But earn the du'a, you'll see magic. But an earned prayer is a costly affair. It's going to mean you being at their beck and call. Sometimes you're going to disrupt your sleep. Sometimes you're going to adjust your holiday. Your resources are going to be at their disposal. That's the time you're going to earn that inner dua. And with that dua, it's going to be the catalyst of growth, barakah, blessings, prosperity. So to be those, as the Quran would conclude these verses, as the heirs and the inheritors of paradise, there's a price. Ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliya. أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ مَنْ خَافَ أَدْلَجَ وَمَنْ أَدْلَجَ بَلَغَ الْمَنْزِلِ. Surely the merchandise of Allah is exclusive. It's expensive. One needs to commit himself. When Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu migrated, and then the enemies, you know, they were in ambush and they seen him and they said, you know what, we're going to come and harass you and attack you. And he said, listen, you know, I'm a marksman and I'm an archman. And he said, أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ كَنْزِي. Just leave me, just don't harass me. I will tell you where my treasures are in Makkah and you can take it and don't interfere with me. And so they accepted his negotiation and he gave them whatever he owned and he let it go, because protection, preservation of his iman was key and was absolute. And then when he came to Medina, the verse was revealed, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بِتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Amongst the people, min tab'eed, right? So Allah says this in the Quran, min, some are like this, some are like that. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى. Oh my word, Allah says, some are like this, some are like that. Remember, Allah's description is absolute. And Allah said, there are those who purchase the pleasure of Allah. And they sell whatever they have, ibtigha'a mardati Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, rabiha al-bay', rabiha, rabiha, a profitable transaction. Well done. You struck a deal. You struck a deal. You gave whatever you owned and Allah is pleased with you. You know what? You offered your resources and you were able to serve your mom and serve your dad and earn their du'as. You might not see anything happening that day, but it's done. The deal has been sealed. The deal has been sealed. You know, sometimes, right, you shake hands, sign the documents. It's all done. It's sitting with the legal team here. The title deeds will be transferred. And then, oops, there's a glitch. There's a hiccup. There's something else that happens. My brother, my sister, if you offer your resources in the service of your parents, I promise you the deal is cemented. It's sealed. But there's a price. There's a price. فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. those who go beyond that which Allah has made permissible. So I was saying in the previous segment as well, Islam is beautiful, it's user-friendly, it's pragmatic. It doesn't deny you any of your needs. It regulates it. It regulates it. So the aim is not to eliminate anger from a person, it's to regulate anger. Because anger in its right space is meaningful. وَذَا النُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا لِرَبِّهِ لَا عَنْ رَبِّهِ. You can see that in Jalalain. I just have a flash of it now. Chapter 21, Surah Anbiya, وَذَا النُّونِ, and the person of the fish and the whale, meaning Yunus alayhi salam, إِذْ ذَهَبَ, when he went, مُغَاضِبًا, in anger for his Lord, for the pleasure of Allah. So, anger, to become angry for the pleasure of Allah is great. It's something recognized. The Sahaba were busy discussing the intricacies of Qadr, Taqdeer, destiny. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came out and he heard them speaking about this year. The Sahaba say he became so angry that it was almost like a seed of a pomegranate had burst on his blessed cheeks. It was bloodshot red in terms of the anger of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu said, whenever a person missed out on the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he felt sad that today the Prophet of Allah, you know, gave an address and I wasn't there. But that day, the ones that were absent felt, relieved that they were not present because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so sad and angry and upset. And he said, Bihadha umirtum, have you been tasked to understand and simplify the concept of taqdeer? No, surely not. I'malu, just do what Allah has told you. It was when previous people tried to unpack and understand this, it led to their destruction because it's beyond our comprehension. And hence the Quran teaches us in Surah Hadid that whatever happens, happens through the will of Allah. And in Bayan al-Quran, in Masail al-Suluk, it is written, Dalla ala ayni ma qalahu al-qawm. We learn from this year, أَنَّ الْخَيْرَ فِي مَا وَقَعَ وَإِن لَمْ يَظْهَرْ لَنَا حِكْمَتُهُ. That this ayah, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَ, in which Allah speaks about destiny and taqdeer, is very effective في علاج الحزن بتذكير القدر, to save you from grief and sadness and sorrow by reviving the article of destiny and taqdeer. And you tell yourself, goodness lies in what has occurred, though I cannot comprehend it. Okay, so I was basically saying that فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. That a believer is one who would limit himself to the teachings of Islam as legislated by Allah. So the point I was driving here is that Islam is so practical. Allah has created us and He knows our desires. So He gives us a space and a place. And that is why we've been exhorted and encouraged to go forward in making nikah. And let me seize this moment. Let me seize this moment to say that today I am inundated with the number of youth that want to get married. Now, I do appreciate that it takes a lot of responsibility. But because the world has become so promiscuous and so inviting, and there's access on so many platforms, so people are physically getting matured also much earlier because there's so much artificial stimulation that is taking place. And then we know that unfortunately this is illicit relationship. They don't have maturity, financial security, etc. You as a parent on both ends, if I can appeal to your understanding, and I'm not advocating for the youth to be irresponsible and to be naive and to be careless and to be heedless. No, not at all. You know, manage yourself, restrain yourself, behave yourself. But you do find that it's happening where unfortunately connections are starting, relations are developing. And alhamdulillah, there are many instances where the parents are rising up to the moment to say, listen, they're studying together and they found a chemistry and they found an inclination before it ends up in zina. And it has already started at the early levels of unlawful contact and an emotion developing and evolving. Let's just come on board here and Allah has given us both the families. I'm using that context and expression. What if we cannot use that wealth to safeguard our children from zina, then for what good is it? Let's get them married. Let's provide them with a house. And the reality is today, any parent, and I'm speaking with that cap on my head, if you have young adult children, you would realize to get them on their feet is not like when we got married. I've said this umpteen times in my talks. When I got married 30 years ago, there was no house, there was no home. But there was values to make a home, and there was values to be economical and frugal. Budget, thrifty, frugal, save this, budget this, manage this, and shape a house. Be tolerant, be compassionate, be accommodating, and shape a home. And together with the passage of time and the values of being economical and frugal, being selfless, compassionate, and empathy, Allah allows us to have a roof and to shape it into somewhat of a home. The average child today, my child, your child included, when they get married, a fully furnished house is given to them. But because they lack the values of converting that shaped house into a home, sadly, they demolish it brick by brick. That's the brutal truth, and that's the unfortunate situation. Anyway, we move on to the next verse. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who give due regard to trust and their pledges, every precaution to fulfill the pledges and promises they make to Allah and to people. So that's verse number 8. Again, speaking about the qualities of the believers, that when they make a pledge, when they have a trust or a covenant with someone, they honor it. Now, whether that trust is an explicit trust or it is in fine print. When I say fine print, like we say this in a humorous way, that you know what, the fine print of marriage comes with a lot of things, right? When you take a visa of a country, then the scholars tell you that that visa means that you would go to that country and you would be an adherent, not a national of that country, not a citizen, but a visitor of that place. Because for that duration, you have taken that visa. So what a company with whom you contract, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ, their trust, وَعَهْدِهِمْ, and their pledges, رَاعُونَ, just like you have a shepherd, رَاعِ الْغَنَمْ, he takes care of that flock. They honor it, they protect it. الْعِدَةُ دَيْنٌ, you've given someone your word, you ought to honor it. You cannot go against your word. You cannot just walk away from an agreement and a contract. There's consequences. There's consequences. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those. Amongst the outstanding salient qualities of the old folks was when they gave their word, you know what, hell or high waters, they will not commit a breach in their trust. Ayatul munafiqi thalath. The traits of a munafiq is when he speaks, he lies. Iza haddatha kathaba. Wa iza wa'ada akhlaf. When he makes a promise, he just goes against it. That's the trait of it, of a munafiq. وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ. And when he has been entrusted with something, he commits a breach in the trust. So to default on your promise has nothing to do with a believer. And sadly, it has everything to do with a hypocrite.